Welcome back to Daft on Draft. I am your host, Dalton Miller, joined, as always, by my co-host, the fake Corey Kinnon on X. Getting blown up by Miami Hurricane fans for offering a little bit of criticism towards Cam Ward. And what I thought was funniest about all of that, we're not going to talk about this for very long because we have a mock draft that we're going to get into. And it's a dueling mock draft, not a he takes one, I take two type deal. But we each made 32 picks, and we are going to compare our notes for this class so far. But we're going to split that up into two episodes. But I needed to get into this for a second, man. You offered up the criticism. You said you had a film room coming. You dropped all the tape, and then it, like, a lot of people, when you first tweeted it out, were like, okay, so you didn't show us any evidence. And then you had this, like, three-minute-long video that you posted on Twitter that was, like, the evidence of it. And then, obviously, once nobody has anything of substance to say back to you, they go to the profile picture.
Yeah, it's a popular picture.
It is a popular picture on the interwebs. And that happens to every white dude with glasses that talks about football, because my buddy Connor Livesey, who I covered the Dallas Cowboys in the NFL draft with for a very, very long time. Same thing happened to him all the time with the profile pick. I love it. I love it when people make fun of me and yell at me online. I'm a big boy. I can take it. I used to be in car groups on Facebook, and that's all we did was talk crap. But let's get into this mock draft. First pick, this is the order for the top 16. New England Patriots, Jacksonville Jaguars, New Orleans Saints, Carolina Panthers, Cleveland Browns at number 5, at number 6, the Raiders, number 7, the Giants, number 8, the Dolphins, 9, the Titans, 10, the Jets, 11, the Cowboys, 12, the Colts, 13, the Bengals, 14, the Bucks, 15, the Seahawks, and 16, the Rams. Let's get into it. Number 1 pick, New England Patriots. Who do you got?
Yeah, so we talked about this off air, and it's getting a little boring and repetitive just to mock Travis Hunter first overall all the time. And we talked about it a little bit on our adapter draft yesterday about just trends as well, and a corner has never gone first overall. And again, Travis Hunter's different. I can acknowledge that. He's going to demand 10 to 15 snaps offensively per game. He's not going to play full-time both ways, but he will demand those offensive snaps because he's that good of a weapon. He's that good of a weapon. So he is different, and I'm acknowledging that, but no corner, and he is just primarily a corner, has ever gone number one overall. The Patriots aren't taking a quarterback. They could take a wide receiver. It's been a while since a wide receiver has gone number one overall. And I don't think the two guys that we talk about at the top
was Keyshawn,
are worthy.
Was Keyshawn,
yeah, Keyshawn was first overall. Yep. That's what I thought. Yes. What the most prominent position of a non-quarterback taken first overall is an offensive tackle or an edge rusher. And there is not an offensive tackle you're taking number one overall in this class. There's just not. You know, I had some priors coming into it on Will Campbell and Kelvin Banks, and those have been confirmed as I've kind of finalized-ish their grades. Again, they're going to play some better pass rushers down the road that I'm going to add those games in and update my notes and any improvements that I see or you know, disagreements that I see with any earlier notes that I have. But they're both guards. I think they're both guards. I'm going to grade them both as guards. That's just how I see it. And it, even I saw some length issues with Kelvin Banks that I didn't see, but I'm not going to get into that because we have 16 picks each to get through. I'm taking Abdul Carter, number one overall, to the New England Patriots. Anfernee Jennings is doing a good job as their will linebacker. Do I think they could add a more explosive upgrade since trading away Matthew Judon? Yes, I do. In their 3-4 defense, I think that Abdul Carter is the perfect fit to be that monster off the edge. The same way that Matthew Judon was for them the past 2 years before. I think this is just an excellent fit. Again, he's a Penn State athlete. He's gonna test off the charts. He's got every physical tool, bend, explosiveness, power, punch in his hands. It's hard to, and he's turned it on when it's kind of mattered most for Penn State after a kind of a slow start. It's hard to find a better pass rusher in the nation right now than him. And it's hard to find a better pass rusher in this class right now than him. So Abdul Carter, the Patriots, number one overall.
Yeah, and I don't think I need to say anymore. I also chose Abdul Carter for this pick for all the reasons that you chose him for this pick as well. Their need for it, like you said, Anfernee Jennings, he was one of my favorites coming out of that draft. Not like as a first-round pick, but just one of my guys in that class. So it's nice to see him still getting work. And that's all I have to say. Number two, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Again, like this is going to start to get repetitive with some of these top guys. It's just the way that it is. The draft order will change. There will be different teams. So maybe we'll be able to switch stuff up, go back to, you know, Shedeur Sanders being the first overall pick every once in a while. But this is Travis Hunter. And the thing with Jacksonville, I think, is they could always, it seems, use a little bit of help at wide receiver. Brian Thomas Jr. has been fantastic for them, but they could use another weapon just to get the ball to. 10 to 15 snaps game, they can get that with Travis Hunter. On top of, I mean, I have to say, I think that Patrick Surtain was the cleaner prospect overall because he had the frame to go with it. But I don't think I've seen a more instinctive coverage defender in my life than Travis Hunter. And you add in legitimately like high end wide receiver ball skills with his eyes defensively, his athleticism, his quickness, his ability to close. We're talking about somebody with, I mean, Trayvon Diggs had the 10 interception year. It would not shock me if Travis Hunter had one of them in the NFL because of his ball skills and because of his eyes in zone coverage.
I agree. This is pretty easy so far in this dueling mock draft because I also have Travis Hunter number two to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And again, they just traded Cam Robinson. But again, as we've talked about, offensive linemen going this early is really just, it's not in the cards. We could talk about that with the Saints next at number three. They also need a guard. Or a tackle, because I do think Telesi Fuaga could play guard if they needed him to in a pinch, kick him inside. But again, you're not taking a guard or any of these tackles third overall. I would say maybe you consider Cam Williams this high, but Cam Williams' play, he's shown some warts over down the road. Some big-time balance issues, just a lot of really raw issues of like, he's going to get better at time over time. He's just throwing his hands really early and really aggressively, and he's getting way out over his ways doing it. Creating some big time balance issues. And I think his hands are wide and he's giving up his chest a lot. I do believe in his tools, but not this high, not this early for a guy who has 8 career starts to his name, 9 career starts to his game. So we're talking BPA again, and I'm going, Mason Graham here to the Saints. I wanted to go potentially Shamar Stewart, because they do love like that bigger body defensive end. Cam Jordan is getting near the end of his career. Peyton Turner was a first round pick that hasn't panned out for them. Carl Granderson's kind of the same mold. Davenport, it took him in the first round, kind of that same bigger bodied, big end kind of mold. So I thought Shamar Stewart was a decent option here as well. But at the end of the day, like if we're not drafting quarterbacks this early, we're taking BPA, and Mason Graham has every right to be considered a top three prospect in this class. And especially when you look at the depth chart of New Orleans's interior, they need to hit on young players because they're going to start getting a lot of high salaried old players off their books. And not that, I mean, they're not going to be competitive for a while, but the way you accelerate a rebuild is that you add good young talent. So take BPA here. And that's what we're doing here. We're taking Mason Graham.
I think that's some really experienced mock drafting right there. I think that's a really good way to look at it, especially with their salary cap situation. I think obviously the best thing for them to do is trade down just like a bunch and acquire as much cheap talent as you can in the class, because they are going to have a ton of contracts coming off the books. I did go with Shamar Stewart here.
Nice.
And I went with it just as an homage to Dennis Allen. May he rest in peace as an NFL head coach. He's still alive, but not as a head coach in the NFL.
Probably will never will be again.
No.
He's had a couple shots at it now, yeah.
I don't think when I look at this team, I wonder if they're going to have the same formula on the defensive side of the ball. I think with the roster that you have now, you kind of want to keep stick with that because you don't really have the guys to stand up. So for me, Shamar Stewart, great talent, one of one type body athleticism, at least generationally. He's got a lot to figure out still. He's a little bit stiff, but when you're 290, you can be a little bit stiff if you're super explosive, super long, super powerful. So for me, it is a little bit of an overdraft, I do believe. But man, once you get out of the top six, seven, eight picks, everything sort of feels like an overdraft. Not the best player on the board. That would have been Mason Graham for me as well. But we ride with Shamar Stewart here.
I mean, New Orleans could go a variety of ways, especially after the trade deadline today. They just traded Marcus Lattimore. You could have thrown Will Johnson in there. Their wide receiver room is literally Chris Olave and the Island Misfit Toys. And Chris Olave has like five concussions in his NFL career already as well.
Yep.
Like, so you could have gone wide receiver and with Burden or Tet there as well. So there's a lot of options for New Orleans, who already has a pretty ravaged roster, and it's only going to get worse down the road.
Yeah, number four is easy. It's Shedeur Sanders. The Carolina Panthers need a quarterback. There's no other discussion here. It will not be Bryce Young. It won't be. I mean, you're looking at a team in Indianapolis that very much looks like they have given up on the one-of-one genetic elite freak. And we saw him be better than Bryce Young, who is 5'10", 190 pounds. The long-term situation is not there for Bryce. So Shedeur Sanders, Tepper likes to sell jerseys. He wants to market. Get a Sanders in there, sell jerseys, sell hope, and hopefully don't mess him up.
I tend to agree with you. I didn't go quarterback here just because looking at their roster, their right tackle, Taylor Moton, could be a cap casualty. Their left tackle, Ike Ekwonu, has not played up to the standard of a top 10 pick that he was. They have no running mate opposite J.C. Horn at corner. Their best edge rusher right now is Jadeveon Clowney, who has one sack and is on pace for half the pressures he had a year ago in Baltimore. Their wide receiver room, Adam Thielen is Xavier Leggett. Let's give Xavier Leggett his flowers for what he's doing as a rookie. But outside of that,
apparently Jalen Coker is a dude there for them. I've been seeing that. I haven't seen him play at all this year so far, but I have heard that Coker looks like he might be the best rookie wide receiver on that roster too.
But that's all to say, they're lacking at every other premium position on that roster. And that's a hard situation to bring another rookie quarterback into. A very hard situation to bring another
rookie quarterback into. And why do they have such a lack of talent, Corey? Is it possibly because they
mortgage
their future on a 5'10 quarterback?
Including trading away a Pro Bowl wide receiver in the process.
Including trading away a Pro Bowl wide receiver, yes.
Yeah, that's rough. And so, again, Carolina's in trade back territory too. But this is very much like 2022, where nobody wants these picks.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted to trade out and nobody wanted the picks. So we're in the same situation this year. There aren't quarterbacks to come up and get that you're mortgaging your future on. These teams are going to just have to take who they're going to take. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars saying, fine, we'll take Trayvon Walker first overall. That's the kind of situation we're talking about here. But for Carolina in this case, I mentioned Jadeveon Clowney. His contract is structured very terribly where they can get out of it, but they guaranteed him almost half of his contract next year too. And they didn't put a post June 1 designation out in it either. So they could cut him. I don't think they're going to, but they did trade away Brian Burns as well. Ultimately, I do think Jadeveon Clowney is over the hill as well and only has 1 year left on that deal. I'm going to go with an edge rusher. And this is where Shamar Stewart's coming off the board for me. I think him and Clowney are probably favorable in terms of how they win. Yeah. Neither are the most flexible athletes. Both are powerful pass rushers. And again, we're talking about a body type that we haven't seen since J.J. Watt, which we've mentioned a lot on this podcast. And Stewart is absolutely as explosive, perhaps more of an explosive athlete than J.J. Watt was. That's not to say that that's a ceiling. I mean, that is a ceiling. But that's not to say that's the baseline of who he is as a player. But again, in a bad class, let's take some shots on ceiling here. And there might not be a higher one in this class than Shamar Stewart. So I'm going to send him to Carolina, address one of those premium positions before you bring another quarterback into it.
Yeah, not a bad pick, and you're still up.
Yeah. So the Cleveland Browns are now number five. This is a little bit of a homer take. I mean, it obviously, some objectivity goes out the
door. You're taking a quarterback at four, I knew you weren't taking a quarterback at four. And I knew.
I
know why it is. You can talk about, the Panthers roster is devoid of talent, blah, 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 blah. But you really just wanted to make the easy pick for Cleveland.
That's a little bit of it. But I also look at the Browns roster, and DeJuan Jones has kicked over to left tackle, and he's played okay the past 2 weeks after Jedrick Wills has been benched and he's not going to be back. Jack Conklin still is under contract and his health is always a big question mark, but you could get away with, and especially we're talking no tackles this early in this class. Your wide receiver room, Cedric Tillman, since trading Amari Cooper, has the fantasy guys are all loving him because he's number one in all of the fantasy metrics over the past 3 weeks, but he legitimately has three touchdowns. He's nearing 100 yards in each week. The past 3 weeks since the Cooper trade. And so that looks like your ex receiver and Jerry Jeudy still under contract. And so I think you could get away with waiting on wide receiver or getting a veteran on the market there as well. Edge rushers, you have Myles Garrett. You have two young edge rushers as well. You have Obo Okoronkwo, who's one of the better DPRs in the league, I would say, whose job is just to come in on passing downs and make a mess. So I think they have the Denzel Ward corner. Martin Emerson down year, but yeah, you still have some talent at premium positions where you can go ahead and draft the quarterback. This is a playoff team a year ago that ultimately I think is steady quarterback play away from being back in that conversation and in competition. So Shedeur Sanders is coming off the board here to the Browns, ending one of the eras that I would love to scrub from my memory.
Yeah, no, listen, it's a great pick. And when I was going through theirs, I had a ton of trouble because, like you said, the roster overall at the positions that you actually have here that you would be willing to take is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like, you could make a case for wide receiver with Emerson being 1 year left on his deal and then also Newsom 1 year left on his deal. Mm-hmm. He's got the fifth-year option coming up. Like, you could have looked at corner and like kind of done a Cincinnati Bengals thing where you drafted Will Johnson for the future. Mm-hmm. You're drafting him a year ahead of time and he'll probably end up playing because he's that talented. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to play him because of who you have there. Their safety's still playing really well. So like for me, it's really difficult to make this decision, but I ended up going Mykel Williams here. And I thought about Burton as the yak guy, but I went with Williams here because I want them to have a legitimate dude opposite of Myles Garrett. So maybe, just maybe, we get Garrett in a couple more 1v1 mm-hmm. situations every once in a while.
Yeah.
And that's it. Just while he's still in his prime, let's see if we can really have a stupid season mm-hmm. production wise from Myles Garrett.
It's hard to argue that he's getting chipped out the wazoo, always will be. And then obviously they just traded Za'Darius Smith at the trade deadline as well. And he was mm-hmm. under contract for 2025.
This was yesterday, I don't make this pick, but
yeah,
today I make it. And at number six, the Raiders. You might be thinking this is where Cam Ward goes. No. It is not where Cam Ward goes. We're not drafting another quarterback here. We're going Tetman Millen here. We're going wide receiver. Let me look at their roster here real quick. Let me look at their depth chart at wide receiver.
Roster and I was like, what is this football team?
I have no idea what this football team is. Trey Tucker, Jacoby Myers, and DJ Turner. What is a DJ Turner? Isn't that the corner from Michigan a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing, Las Vegas?
You can say that about a bunch of their position rooms. But
Brock Bowers has been awesome.
Unbelievable.
This is not the situation you want to throw Cam Ward into. A lot like what you were talking about with Carolina. It's not what you want to throw Cam Ward especially into. So we're going to go with wide receiver. Tank another year. Mm-hmm. Tet McMillan. Somebody who ball hawk. I mean, 7'5 wingspan, it seems like it. He makes catches nobody else can. He's been better after the catch so far this year as well. I think he's the guy.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. Again, similar to Carolina, you just look at all of their premium positions and they are all devoid of talent. I like to the point, like I almost
Las Vegas. Yeah,
Las Vegas. Like to the point where I almost mocked them Ashton Jansen because it's like, this is a player that you don't need the quarterback to throw the football to. Like you can just put the ball in his hand. Like you have a playmaker at least that is not hard to get the ball to. Like that's where I was at with this team. But ultimately a running back in the first round is a luxury pick. And this, the Raiders do not have the opportunity to draft a luxury player right now. They're starting Ja'Corian Bennett and Jack Jones in their cornerback room right now as their starting corners. That's really hard to look past. Ultimately, you mentioned Cameron Ward. They clearly don't have a plan at quarterback either. Like they can't stick with Gardner Minshew. They're at Desmond Ridder now. Aiden O'Connell is on. Like he's hurt. Like you, I think they're going to have to force a quarterback, but that's not what I'm going to do here because I don't think that this is clearly not a roster that can support that. I'm going Will Johnson. Take the best player on the board and kick either Jack Jones or Bennett into the nickel. I think both could fit in there. As well, and still see the field very often, but just take the best player on the board, man. This team is not a year away. This team is not 2 years away. Cam Ward or Will Johnson. I'm sorry. Foreshadowing to the Giants, though, I am taking Cam Ward because I just think they are that fed up with Daniel Jones. And you did draft a high-end playmaker at wide receiver. I like their right tackle. I can't pronounce his last name. Jermaine, whatever.
Iuminor?
Yeah. I like him a lot to the point I think they're going to re-sign him. Obviously, Andrew Thomas is really good. I think they have enough to surround a rookie quarterback. Ultimately, I think what Cam Ward needs most is time, but supply and demand, he's not going to have it. He's not going to have it. So he's going to have to figure it out early. But I think the Giants, Brian Daboll, if he's still there, which it sounds like he got a vote of confidence from ownership that he will still be there. I think this is probably his best bet early on. We've seen Brian Daboll work with Josh Allen in the past. So we've seen him at least make Daniel Jones look usable his first year in New York. He might be able to hide some of those deficiencies. Tyrone Tracy even looks like a dude at running back. So like, I think they have some offensive playmakers to maybe take a little bit off of his plate as well. But ultimately, I think this just comes down to they are just unbelievably fed up with Daniel Jones. And so I think the Giants take Cam Ward here.
That's a fair assumption because it's kind of hard not to be fed up with Daniel Jones at this point. I can't get past this point with this player still on the board and not put him with the New York Football Giants. It's Mason Graham. And it's simply out of sheer selfishness by me wanting to see Dexter Lawrence play beside Mason Graham. I think it would be the best interior duo we've seen in the past 20 years by far by year two. I mean, we're talking about arguably the best defensive player in the NFL and somebody who I have now really settled in on a comp of Jeffrey Simmons for Mason Graham. And that's not just like play style. Like, I think that he could be a Jeffrey Simmons level player at the NFL level. Jeffrey Simmons, if you guys don't know, top five defensive tackle in the NFL. So we're talking about the best player in the NFL who happens to play defensive tackle and a Jeffrey Simmons level player. That would be disgusting for the NFC East to have to deal with. And the NFC East has had their share of really good interior defensive tackle duos. This would be the best of all of them, and it would terrify every single quarterback in that division.
Love it. Love it.
And do I have the next one?
You do.
You already did New York. You already did New York, my bad. The Miami Dolphins at number 8. I don't think anybody loves drafting college offensive tackles to play offensive guard more than the Miami Dolphins do. That's where we're going here. Listen, he's a really good football player. I think he's going to be an awesome guard, but his issues, this is Will Campbell from LSU, offensive tackle, really good player, short arms, struggles on the outside track, struggles with length, speed to power, take away that runway, takes away some of the length advantage on the interior. He moves people. He has the torque strength. He is technically sound. I think it would be very, very easy to move him inside. And I think he would automatically, like instantly, be a Pro Bowl level guard by year two. So here at number eight. And he can obviously play tackle in a pinch.
Yep.
And in Miami, you never know. You might have to play tackle in a pinch. So
yeah,
Will Campbell, number eight overall.
I also have Will Campbell off the board here. Everything in my heart wants me to make Cam Ward or Cam Williams the first offensive lineman off the board. And maybe 3 weeks ago I would have, but man, he's just not there yet. And I do think he's going to declare, and I do think he's going to go first round because the traits, the tools with his age and experience is just, it's through the roof. We talked about Shamar Turner having a super high ceiling, and this is a draft class where a lot of teams are going to shoot for ceiling, and he's one of them. But I went Will Campbell here too. You spoke about that torque, dude. He threw, it looked like he took
Nick Scorton on that duo.
Put him through a drywall, like put him through drywall. one of those reps is what it looked like. It was, yeah, his hip torque is unbelievable. You can't get through his chest either. So yeah, take away that runway. Miami's got talent. They've got speed, obviously. Mike McDaniel might be on fraud watch a little bit, but they obviously have the offensive talent and speed to put up points, protect, block, just give some opportunity offensively. So Will Campbell, eighth overall, Dolphins. Ninth overall, the Titans are SOL, man. Like draft day is going to look a lot different by draft day. But they're sitting ninth on the board right now, and Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward are both off the board. They're another team that, like the Giants and Daniel Jones, they want to probably throw Will Levis through a wall. Like I think that is the level of fed up they are with him as their starting quarterback. The most magnificent bozo gene we've ever seen in an NFL quarterback. I think that might be where my assessment is on Will Levis, just like an unbelievable amount of bozo gene. But like, I'm not taking Jalen Milroe here.
No, ninth overall. No, God.
And you look at Brian Callahan, and I think looking at what he's done in Cincinnati, and if you get him some playmakers, I think you could patch with a bridge quarterback for a year. And I think that's what they're going to have to do. The only question is, does Rand Carthon have another year? This is now his third year as the GM. Does he have another year to do that? But let's just get some offensive talent. So when we do, they've spent their last two first round picks on offensive linemen, Peter Skoronski, JC Latham. Let's get another offensive playmaker. They just traded DeAndre Hopkins. Treylon Burks is bad. And the majority of that roster, I think they wanted to be competitive because they signed a bunch of 30 plus year olds to 1 year deals. They all qualify for AARP. So get some young talent on that roster. Go get Tet McMillan here. Replace DeAndre Hopkins. Get your ex of the future. Get Tet McMillan. Come back and look for a quarterback next year. Sign Sam Darnold. Trade for Anthony Richardson. Whatever you got to do. Justin Fields. Justin Fields, this actually sounds like a good Dayball quarterback to bridge potentially if he doesn't draft Ward. But that's another story. But go get a bridge quarterback for another year. Add some more offensive talent. Go draft a guy next year. So I'm going to go Tet McMillan here, number nine overall to the Titans.
The Titans right now are starting Jarvis Brownlee Jr. Legere Sneed is hurt. And Roger McCreary in the nickel. We are going with Will Johnson here. He is still on my board, and so this is a pretty easy pick. It's just we're picking the best player available. Cam Ward is still on my board as well. But again, I'm looking for the perfect situation to let Cam Ward incubate at the NFL level, and that is not at number nine with the Tennessee Titans. But it is at number 10 with the New York Jets. I say that because we have a 40-year-old starting quarterback.
Still under contract next year.
Who will be under contract again next year. And Tyrod Taylor is the backup there. So you can have Aaron F off and deal with the starters. He's not going to mentor anybody anyways. And you can have Tyrod there still as the number two quarterback to help develop the young man in Cam Ward. I think that's what he needs more development. He's not there yet. Yeah, you want him to be because this is his fifth year playing college football. But it is what it is. Mm-hmm. You hope he gets it at the next level by not having to start right away. You hope that he can just kind of incubate and become a professional processor and more consistent within the structure of the offense from learning with his eyes.
Yeah, that would be great. Also, just to go,
that would be great.
I just don't think he's going to be afforded that. Like, no, he needs it, and he won't be afforded it. The Jets, we'll see if Joe Douglas takes his pick. I also have to say, because we can't go one episode without talking about Harold Fannin Jr., and I'm watching Maxon out the side of my eye. It's the second quarter, and Harold Fannin already has 5 catches for 76 yards. Just wanted to throw that out there. Also, a perfect segue into my Giants pick. My Jets pick. Not Harold Fannin, no. But it is a tight end. Again, I mentioned it in our last episode that we need to start talking about how high is too high for Tyler Warren.
Mm-hmm. And if I was wondering where he was going to go for
you. If you look at that Jets offense, if you look at that Jets defense, they have corners. They have pass rushers. Especially if Hassan Reddick hangs around. We'll see what happens there. They have Devontae Adams. Still have Garrett Wilson. They're getting their touches. They're happy. I think Aaron and the Jets are going to win a draft. They know they have 1 year left in his window. Draft another playmaker that can help them win now. Tyler Conklin as their starting tight end. Why not go get perhaps the most versatile tight end of this class that you can do a lot of fun things with, the way that Penn State is building their entire offense out of? 6'6", 260. Put him in the slot, put him in line, split him out, put him in the backfield. He's your goal line wildcat. Do all the things you want to do with him. Teach him to block, perhaps. Go capitalize on the 1 year you have left with Rodgers. It didn't work this year. Didn't work this year. You got 1 year left. 1 year left of it. So you might as well go all in. So let's go all in and take Tyler Warren here, 10th overall, to the New York Jets. Again, once he goes to Indy, he's not getting out. I don't think he's getting out of the top 15 once he goes to Indy. That's all I'm saying.
What's hilarious right now is the group chat is blowing me. My phone just absolutely blew up because they are also watching that Bowling Green game right now. And they all went to Penn State. And they're like, the best tight end in the country plays for Bowling Green. That's my Yes, Harold Fannin Jr. Can't go an episode without talking about him. He is a freak of nature. And actually, at the end of my first round, I actually thought about taking him for a team.
Really?
But that is neither here nor there. We are at number – well, you have to go to a number.
It's my 11. Turn. Number 11 now. Dallas Cowboys, your Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
How often do you get to hear about a team disciplining a veteran 30-year-old running back for acting like a rookie? How fun is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about Ashton Jantzi here. Again, I could have gone in a lot of directions with this pick. I really, 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 really love the Isaiah Bond. The Isaiah Bond fit with the Cowboys is so much fun, with CD doing all he does over the middle and in the slot to put him as a burden on the outside to replace Brandon Cooks. I love that fit so much, but I do it every time. So I'm diversifying a little bit.
And 11 is pretty high for Bond.
It is. I agree. So let's go Ashton. And we say that, and then I draft a running back. Ashton Jantzi, Dallas Cowboys. They're starting Dalton Miller back there at running back this year right now. So what the heck, man? Dak can't keep throwing the ball as much as he is, at least not in this offense, which I think they're going to have a new regime next year anyway, and hopefully some more fun and creative stuff going on offensively.
Nope. But you're going to get Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, and you're going to like it.
Love it. Love it. Let's get Jantzi. Again, as much as we want to talk about how we hate drafting running backs in the first round, teams are clearly taking away explosive plays, and the running back is the one position that you can get the ball into a playmaker's hand without doing much effort. Without much effort. You just turn around and you give him the ball and let him do the work. Ashton Jantzi should win the Heisman. He's not going to because he's doing it at Boise State, whatever. Should win the Heisman. Ashton Jantzi, 11th overall, Dallas Cowboys.
I hate it because they have so many other needs. But listen, like I said, once you get to 7, 8, 9, 10, like, those blue chip guys are gone. They're gone. And if you have a guy who you can hand the ball off to, who can create explosive plays. And that's the big thing. Like, you can look and you can say, like, all vision's great, contact balance is great, but you have to be able to make big plays, 15-yard plays, explosive run plays. I still don't think the Dallas Cowboys have a single explosive run all year. Not one. Zero. No team wars. But I can't go Ashton Jeanty here. And it is because Luther Burden is still on the board for me. And so I did not try this at all. I actually renounced my Cowboys fandom today after the trade for Jonathan Mingo. So Luther Burden here, because listen, he's going to do what they want Jonathan Mingo to do better immediately. There's Mingo coming out was a bad route runner, and he hasn't gotten any better. I actually got word from somebody who covers the Carolina Panthers and has like serious X's and O's experience, not just a beat reporter, that he is the worst route runner he has ever seen at the NFL level. Did not have nice things to say about him. So Luther Burden, huge weapon to pair with CD, and somebody who, like CD, you can use as a weapon out of the backfield, somebody who you can hand the ball off to. He's great after the catch. Like, this is somebody who you can use as a serious all-around weapon to help your rushing attack, to help the quick passing attack, the screen game, in a new offense with a, hopefully from this century, offensive coordinator. Let's get it going with Luther Burden.
I don't hate the pick, and Burden is still on the board for me too, so I probably could have done that. But I also have a really fun fit.
Oh, is he still on the board for you? I thought he had already gone. Okay.
He hadn't. He's still on the board for me too, but I have a really fun fit for him.
Do you have both wide receivers still on the board? You do,
no, I sent Tet to the Titans at 9.
Oh, that's right. You sent Tet. Yeah. Okay. At number 12 for me, the Indianapolis Colts. This was another tough one because a lot of the players that I wanted to pick, like, I really want to throw Malachi Starks here.
Yeah,
like, you gotta find a place really for him. Need somewhere. Safety here, and so I went with Nick Scorton. I know that Scorton has kind of fallen out of favor a little bit in the edge talks. I still think when you look at his age, when you look at, you know, his ability to lose probably 15 pounds, become a little bit more explosive overall with the loss of body fat, I think that this is a dude who's still like a bigger edge rusher. Somebody with a little bit of physicality that the Colts really seem to enjoy there. Now, I know that they just drafted Liatu Latu, who is none of that. No. But I do think with Quiddy Pay's contract coming up, getting a guy on the other side of Latu with a little bit of length who can set the edge a little bit, that's something that Scorton can do. Plus, man, that floating cross chop that he has is just so gorgeous at 280 pounds. If he's doing that at 265, I think that his hands continue, because like, he's still 20. I think his hands continue to get better, more accurate, and he becomes a serious pass rusher at the NFL level.
I like it. I like it. When I look at the Colts, though, they are starting legitimate seventh-round picks and undrafted free agents at corners. Like, that's their starters at corner. Like, I can't look past that.
My problem, and before you make the decision, I thought about this a million times as well, and I think I know who you're going to go with here, and I don't blame you at all. And I actually,
but you don't like him as a player, yeah. You're,
I don't think like the type of athlete that he is as well. I think the Colts covet that, but we haven't talked about our pick, so we don't know. But I just assume that you're going to pick him here, and I agree. It's just coming off injury. Coming from a smaller school, and me personally being lower on his game than seemingly everybody else, I don't love this. Even though he is the next corner coming off the board, this is a place where I do earmark him. With Scorton still on the board for me, that's the only way I could go.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. But I am going to go Siobhan Revel, East Carolina quarter here. You know, Gus Bradley might not be there. I think Revel, you can get away with some of that stiffness. I do think I see a little bit of tightness in the hip too. He plays high hipped. I don't know if he's tight, but he plays high hipped because he is 6'3". So I don't know if there's room for him to get a little more flexible and sink a little bit more there. But if Gus Bradley's still there, which that's a huge if, because I think he could become a scapegoat for that team, because I don't think they're going to can Steichen. Although the Anthony Richardson situation is a massive debacle and a gigantic like stain right now from that organization. But
at some point, and it won't be this year, I don't think either, but at some point we have to have a discussion about Ballard, like a serious discussion about why he's still there.
Yeah, for sure. But if Gus Bradley is still there, that team runs almost exclusively cover three. And so like you can get away with him just with bailing, like just bailing a lot. And that's what he's going to be asked to do a lot. And he's got maybe the best deep speed in the class, the best long speed in the class, I think, on a linear plane. I like his ball skills a lot. Before he got hurt, he had that pick where he carried a deep crosser all the way across the field and jumped it. Like, so I think the skills are evident there. He's not going to be able to test the combine, might be able to push a pro day. We'll see. I did talk to a scout who said nobody's worried about a September ACL tear. Just the nature of that kind of injury these days, that they're seen as not minor, but like, oh, that's not that big of a deal. To the point where he'll be ready by training camp. He'll be ready by training camp for sure. So nobody's super, super worried about that, the ACL tear. And so I think it's a good scheme fit. Again, pending, is Gus Johnson really going to be there next year? But if they bring in a new guy, are they going to overhaul their entire scheme and force every personnel they drafted for that scheme? Or are they going to hire somebody with a similar scheme with maybe a little bit of a different philosophy of how to deploy it? So I'm going to go Siobhan Revel here at 12, 13 Cincinnati Bengals. So here's my dilemma with the Bengals.
Everything.
They have to pay both of those wide receivers. They have to. Their entire offense revolves around both T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. They can get away with Ja'Marr Chase doing what he can do at every level of the field and from a bunch of alignment versatilities because T. Higgins is so dominant out wide and because of what he can do and the attention that he demands. I think they have to, although T. has been pretty hurt this year too, so that might ding him a little bit, in their evaluation, but I think they have to. I especially the way that Joe Burrow, I love Joe Burrow. He does, like, there's a lot of his game that's predicated on 50-50 balls, though. And so I think that comes down to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins a lot as well. With that being said, concessions are going to be made on the defensive side of the ball. And although Trey Hendrickson has one more year left on his deal, he asked for a new deal this year, threatened to retire, and they didn't give it to him. He's having an unbelievable, like, a potential defensive player of the year season right now for the Bengals. Are they going to trade him? Or are they going to cave and give it to him? If they sign both T. and Ja'Marr, I don't think they're going to be able to sign him as well. So I think concessions are going to have to be made. And I think that's probably one of them. With that being said, I'm taking Mykal Williams here to the Cincinnati Bengals. They could go interior defensive line as well, but with Mason Graham off the board, I don't feel comfortable taking Tyreek Williams at 13. I don't feel comfortable taking Derek Carman at 13. So I'm going to take Mykal Williams here. And again, if Hendrickson isn't that concession, then Sam Hubbard is. One of those two that they're paying money to is going to be a concession. So Edge is going to be a need for that football team.
I don't disagree. I am going with safety here.
Ooh.
This is where Malachi Starks fits in, and both of their safeties are on the final year of their deals. Dax moved to corner. Don't know if he'll move back to safety. Don't know what the plan is there with him, but Malachi Starks is somebody you can plug and play right away, hopefully. And Jordan Battle has not turned out for them. I liked Jordan Battle coming out, so that's kind of tough for me, but is what it is, not working out. Malachi Starks is somebody come in and be that back-end guy immediately for them. It will be interesting to see what happens with that coaching staff if that team continues to not play well. Because I think we all kind of have thought forever that Zach Taylor was a little bit fraudulent. So we'll see what happens there. But Malachi Starks, great talent, great player, fits in right here.
I like it. I didn't get him off the board in these top 16 picks, and he's the hardest player to find a landing spot for in this class.
Always is, because it's safety, the way that it is.
Yeah.
And then with the next pick, again, like a really tough situation here with the players that are on the board currently and with what they need. They do need a linebacker. And they do need an edge rusher. And so why not take both of those with one pick and go with Jalen Walker here? Edge rusher slash linebacker. Or I would say linebacker slash edge rusher from Georgia. Somebody who I think on base downs somebody who you can throw in at will, and then bring him down to the edge on obvious passing downs, use him on the interior as a blitzer on passing downs as well. Just use him as a little bit of a chess piece on that team. And so for me, Jalen Walker is the pick at 14.
I do love that fit for Tampa Bay. And I do also have them going edge rusher here. Ultimately, I think they would really love to go corner. But I mean, you could make a case for maybe Benjamin Morrison or Maxwell Hairston, both players also injured at then and their season's probably over. And I think Morrison's injury is way more substantial than Revel's ACL, especially when I already thought Morrison lacked a little bit of hip flexibility, and to have a hip injury at kind of a smaller body type as well. Like, he's probably 5'11", 190. So like, I really worry about that. So I'm going to go edge rusher for Tampa here as well. And I think since losing Shaq Barrett, they haven't been able to find a replacement for him. Joe Tryon, I thought, was probably a reach at the time when they took him in the first round. And it has kind of proven to be that. We're going to take another stab at it here. And I'm going to go James Pierce as the pass rusher to Tampa here at 16.
I don't hate that pick, because that is somebody who I thought about here as well. Didn't end up happening, though. Who is your next pick?
Yeah, so 15 Seattle here. Let's talk about their offensive tackle situation. I think Charles Cross is playing really well. Abe Lucas at right tackle has had some health issues, and when he's on the field, I think he's definitely at a replacement level. I've talked a lot about Cam Williams and how I think I want to draft him higher than I am able to. I think mid first round pick is a good spot for him to come off the board right now. So I'm going to take Cam Williams, give Charles Cross that running mate at right tackle, and let's run with it.
I have nothing to add. That's my exact pick here as well. It just makes a ton of sense. I think if you're talking about the Seattle Seahawks, the way that they're currently constructed, they lean a lot on Geno being able to be really, really good. And I think although there will be some growing pains with Cam Williams if he continues to play and develop at the level that he's at right now, I think that in the long run, this is a 330-pound dude on the right side who can legitimately be one of the better pass protectors in the NFL. And you need that in this type of offense, because they do like to drop back. They do like to throw the ball. They like to push the ball. Geno likes to hold on to the ball a little bit. Not that he doesn't throw with great anticipation and that he's not fantastic, but just that he likes to have things develop down the field and be able to take shots. So for me, Cam Williams is that dude, number 15 to the Seahawks. Number 16, I have been trying to get rid of Alaric Jackson forever now. For absolute ever, and I haven't been able to do it, but I finally figured out a way to do it. The Los Angeles Rams are taking Kelvin Banks Jr. here. Listen, I haven't made a decision to whether he's a tackle or he's a guard yet, but they just absolutely spiked their first three draft picks this year. They spiked defensive draft picks the year before as well. They're going to the offensive side of the ball here. They're going to start to build that offense for the future. They're going to finally address the offensive line, because it's something that they've just really patched together for a long time now. And it's worked out for them somehow. And I think some of that is just the brilliance of Sean McVay. But to get a guy who, if it doesn't work out, he can play guard. But Kelvin Banks, one of the statistically best pass protectors in the class so far this year. A lot of that is the Texas offense, but a good football player nonetheless, goes 16th here to the Rams.
Yeah, I finalized, again, I put that softly because he's got a matchup with Texas A&M at the end of the year too, that obviously is going to play into his eval, his grade today. And man, he's a guard. I really struggle with him at tackle.
I'm interested because everything that I do is numerically graded. So whatever he comes out as is what he comes out as for me, and whatever he grades higher at is what he ends up being for me. I've done that with like kind of tweener guys in the past. I've done it for guards, tackles, centers. I did that with Graham Barton out of Duke last year, I graded him as a tackle, graded him as a guard, graded him as a center. And he was my fifth-ranked player in the entire class at center. And so that's what he was graded as, graded on the interior.
And guess what he's playing at the NFL level?
And he's been fantastic. So spike that one. You don't get wins like that very often. But yes, Kelvin Banks Jr. is the pick here at 16.
Yeah. For me here, 16 with the Los Angeles Rams, I said I had a really fun fit for Luther Burton. And I wasn't lying when I said I had a really fun fit for Luther Burton.
Oh, that's gross.
Cooper Kupp is pretty injury riddled. He's over 30. And I couldn't think of a better wide receiver to take over the role and the route tree that Cooper Kupp has run and dominated at in Los Angeles than Luther Burton. Like, this is a fit where I legitimately think he could go for 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns as a rookie. Like, that's the kind of fit that I think this is in terms of play style, how he wins, scheme fit, route tree. Yeah, I love everything about Luther Burton to the Rams right here.
That is a disgusting fit. It really is. That is a great way to end this episode and segue into the next one with Luther Burden eventually replacing Cooper Kupp. That's pretty fantastic. All right. That's it. That's the first 16 picks down. We both did them. So this one took a little bit longer. We're at 52 minutes. It is what it is. I'll get you guys out of here. Stay safe. If you're listening to this, just stay indoors for a couple of days. Just binge the podcast episodes for a while. Stay out of public. We don't know what's going to happen the next couple of days. Get what you need to, your supplies at the grocery store, but just hang out, chill for a while. And remember, I love you. For Dalton Miller, Corey Kinnon, goodbye.